Welcome back, everyone, to the Fantasy Crossover Podcast. I am your host, Danny, joined by my co-host, Brian. And today, guys, we have the free agency episode. So we are covering the day of free agency, Thursday evening, right after free agency kicked off at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wow, what a day it's been so far. To give you guys a pretty high-level view, in about an hour and a half, we already have over 30 plus free agency signings, contract extensions, and there's definitely more to come. But before we even get into some of these free agency signings that have gone on, we need to cover the big news that dropped today, which it's shocking that this is the biggest news so far in the NBA. It is the fact that Kevin Durant requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. He met with Brooklyn Nets ownership and just in general the Board of Governors, and he told them he wanted out. It appeared very clear that after the fiasco that has been the previous seasons and just in general, the unexpected, you know, I don't think their lack of meeting expectations for Brooklyn, Kevin Durant is not happy. So he is looking to find other pastures to roam in the NBA landscape. This comes right after Kyrie Irving opted into his last year of his contract. So Kyrie's on the books for this last year, and KD is apparently seeking out. We are getting reports from NBA insiders that they would like to play together on another team, just not on Brooklyn, which is just a devastating blow for Brooklyn Nets ownership, management, and just in general that fan base. Brian, what are your thoughts? We do know that KD's preferred destinations are Phoenix and Miami, but how do you think this all plays out?
Well, I do think I got to call BS on some of these reports. And guys, I was telling this to Danny yesterday, you can't believe necessarily everything you read. And I'll be honest, that report about KD and Kyrie wanting to play together, to me, it doesn't feel right. To me, it's like you already have the opportunity to play together in Brooklyn. Like, where do you guys realistically think you're going to go where you can play together? Like, no other team is going to give up a bunch of picks or a bunch of players to get two guys that in the last 3 years have won one playoff series. It's just not realistic. If you want to get KD, I totally understand it. To me, he's still a top five player in the league. He's absolutely worth, even at 33 going on 34, if you feel like you have a chance to win a championship with him on your roster, it's worth giving up certain pieces to get him and future picks, absolutely, to go all in. Kyrie, to me, and this has been from the beginning of this whole relationship with those two, has always been the wild card. He's always been the one that you can't rely on. And I think KD is honestly slowly starting to realize it, because I don't think this came out of left field, Dan. I think this is something that they've been planning. I think it's something they've been thinking about. I think KD, despite what he says on social media, still kind of regrets leaving Golden State and that winning culture. I think Kyrie still regrets leaving LeBron and that winning culture that they had kind of set up. I could see Kyrie going to the Lakers. I know that that's Brian Windhorst just came out basically saying that Kyrie is going to potentially try to force his way to LA. It sounds like KD has his choices of Phoenix and Miami. To be honest, though, I don't think Brooklyn is in a position where they have to trade these guys to where they want to go. I think if I'm Brooklyn, you know, I've given KD and Kyrie all this power over the last 3 years. Now I have KD's rights for the next 4 years. I have Kyrie's rights for the next year. I'm going to ask for whatever is the most that I can get. I've saw what DeJounte Murray can get. I've seen what other guys like Drew Holiday can get. If I have KD and Kyrie and I'm Brooklyn and they didn't get me a championship, I'm going to ask for everything and the kitchen sink in return for those two guys to try and set myself up as well as possible for the future. I personally don't give a damn what either of those two want. If I'm a Sean Marks, I'm trying to get as many picks and as many young, good athletes as I possibly can.
I completely agree with you. I think that there's a couple points that we have to, you know, weigh out with all that's going on right now. Firstly, I think that their value, even though KD, to your point, top five player, top 10 definitely, depending on who you ask, just his value is going to be low considering the fact that they are blowing this up. Sean Marks, Joe Tsai, they handed the keys to the kingdom when KD and Kyrie came, gave them everything they wanted, and now they are screwing them over in the worst way possible. I can't imagine what the next CBA is going to look like, because a lot of NBA players have taken advantage of ownership and let's be honest, these billionaires don't like that. So I can't wait to see. I think that ultimately, though, the Brooklyn Nets are going to be selling, you know, they're going to get 10 cents on the dollar for both these players, as crazy as that might sound. You just have two incontent players that ultimately want to be out. So Brooklyn is going to, you know, accommodate to them. Obviously, still try to get as much as they can. But ultimately, I think teams know that they're in a position of weakness right now, unfortunately. A point that I quickly want to make to you, though, I think Kyrie does end up back with LeBron. I think that he regrets heavily just his behavior and his just his taking of the situation when he was with Cleveland, especially given that he hasn't seen much success as of late. And KD, I think, is going to try to make his own with an already proven culture. So that's definitely going to be interesting to see where he ends up. But I think culture is going to be a very interesting thing for KD. I think that he realizes he cannot be the culture setter. He has to go somewhere that culture has already been instilled. I'm not just hinting at the Miami Heat, obviously, but we did see that with the Golden State Warriors. So I think that culture is going to play a big role in it ultimately. But I have to put this out there. I can't consider KD a top 10 Hall of Famer or all-time great moving forward after this. I just, the amount of disrespect it is to ownerships, in my opinion, just playing out your contract and staying true to your word, and just his handling of every situation that has come as of yet, to me, it's just not the sign of like a player that I rank that high. Skill-wise, he's arguably the best big to grace the game, in my opinion, but in terms of just those intangibles, those leadership skills, I just haven't seen it, man. This is just another disappointment. If you're expecting more from KD, he's just not that guy, and like, yeah, we have to stop expecting that.
I think you brought up a good point that he has to be that culture. He can't be that culture setter. He needs to go to a team that's more established, that is already kind of used to winning, much like Golden State was. And he just needs to be like that final piece, which, as talented as he is, it's a little sad to say that he might not be able to be the best player on a championship team. I mean, I know he won finals MVP twice, but now we've seen Golden State win twice without him. It definitely demeans his accomplishment a little bit. It's tough to say. And same with Kyrie. I think both of those guys need to go to places where they can win right away. And they're not going to be the leader that, you know, everyone's looking to as an example. I think KD, my prediction, KD ends up in Phoenix. I think DeAndre Ayton is probably the best piece you can probably realistically acquire, at least that I can think of for KD right now, at least as like the centerpiece. And then Kyrie, I know he's going to try to force his way to LA. That just remains to be seen for me if it ends up working out for Brooklyn. I think if they're smart, they may look at Dallas. Dallas, obviously, now losing Jalen Brunson, they're kind of cap strapped. I think they're going to look at Kyrie as, hey, maybe a 1-year option. It's worth a shot. See if it works out for a year, and then see where it goes from there. But again, just because it's a 1-year deal, I don't see them giving up, kind of like you mentioned, a full dollar's worth amount of assets for Kyrie Irving right now. I just don't see it.
So I have a similar prediction. Kyrie, I have going to the Lakers. I don't care how he gets there, but I think he just inevitably ends up there, mainly because of the 1-year aspect. KD, though, I have him going to the Memphis Grizzlies. The more I thought about it, they have all the assets that they need to get KD, in my opinion. And to be quite frank, I just don't see Phoenix pulling the trigger, given the fact that the Nets aren't interested in DeAndre Ayton. They just re-signed Nicholas Claxton. They're not going to go for it. And I don't think ownership for the Suns, being Robert Sarver being one of the cheapest owners in the NBA, I just don't think he's going to feel comfortable sitting in the luxury tax with all those players, regardless if that gives him the best chance to win a ring. It sounds crazy, but I mean, we saw Oklahoma City do the same exact thing when they broke up that big three that ultimately ended up becoming individual MVPs on their own respective, right? Yeah. So I think KD ends up in Memphis. I think Kyrie ends up in LA, and it's just a sad, sad day for Nets fans and the Nets organization. This is going to be a case study in the future as to why you never put all your eggs in one basket with players, and why we can't ultimately try to make great individually skilled players leaders or something that they're not.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Memphis is an interesting team to look out for. They're a team that has a lot of good young players that I think are in a good contract position to be able to make a nice package for KD. So that's a team to watch. Obviously, the ability to play with Ja, who looks like he's basically close to superstar level as well. It's going to be, let me tell you, a lot of folks out there were going to say that this free agency was going to be kind of slow. Not a lot of teams had free agent space or cap space. I mean, we're seeing a ton of moves despite that today. So it's almost overwhelming how many moves have already happened.
Yeah, and before we get into the free agency moves, let's quickly cover some of the things that happened prior to free agency going off. So prior to free agency going off, we did see a couple of just re-signings, movement. Ivica Zubac re-signed with the Clippers for a three-year contract. The Nets acquired Royce O'Neal for a first-round pick. Terrible mistake, in my opinion. And the Wolves re-signed Taurean Prince. But the big move that happened before free agency kicked off was the fact that the Hawks traded Danilo Gallinari and three unprotected first-round picks for DeJounte Murray. Now, DeJounte Murray immediately pairs up with Trae Young. They have a pretty interesting backcourt. Some people love it. They think that this is a win-win for both those players. I'm a little bit skeptical. And the Spurs kind of get to restart. They didn't see DeJounte Murray ultimately leading them to the promised land. And they get three unprotected first-round picks. Danilo Gallinari already got waived, so it was all for the picks. And, you know, some people are seeing it as a win-win. Brian, what are your thoughts on Murray pairing up with Young in the backcourt?
So I don't love the fit, to be honest. I still think DeJounte Murray is more of a true point guard. Obviously averaged, I think, 9 assists this year. I think he thrives with the ball in his hands. I don't think Trae Young has proven to be, I think it's going to be a challenge for Trae to see how effective he can be by being off ball. He's been so ball dominant on a team like the Hawks over the last couple of years that I think it's going to be interesting to see how those two kind of transition into working together. My other issue is, as much as I love DeJounte and I love his upside, you only have him on contract for 2 more years. And despite the fact that his value is tremendous, he's only getting paid like $16 million a year, which is a steal compared to what some of these guys are getting in free agency right now. It does lead me to believe like DeJounte is going to want a max or damn near close to max within those 2 years, which means Atlanta basically has a little bit of a title window here that they need to strike. And I don't think John Collins is going to be a guy that is going to be on this roster for much longer. I think they're going to have to make a decision with him as far as what they want to do, because if you don't remember, guys, he signed for 5 years, $125 million. And I know his name has been out there with the trade rumors and all that, but I find it hard to see teams that are excited to take back that contract. I think the Hawks need more shooting all in all. And I think as much as he helps with that, with kind of allowing Trae to kind of escape a little bit on defense, I still think that teams are going to target Trae Young when he's on the floor, and he's still got to be a little bit better defensively. I know some people compare him to, he could be a Steph down the road, but at least Steph can lead the league in steals 1 year. Like, I have not seen that level of defensive intensity and awareness from a Trae Young. And I think for the Hawks to ultimately be a title contender, they're going to need more from Trae on that side of the ball, in addition to more shooting as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that this is a worst version of CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard, strictly from less star power and also kind of similar roles that kind of cannibalize each other. I'm very fascinated to know, just moving forward, these guys' fantasy values altogether. But I agree with you. I mean, it's a bargain deal for the moment being, but you're going to ultimately have to pay this guy. And is that going to equate to winning? I don't think so. I think that Atlanta ultimately gets off of John Collins and Clint Capella. I see a trade possibly with Utah for Rudy Gobert, but let's wait and see. I think it's going to be a 2-for-1 with those two players. But again, the biggest question mark is, does that equate to winning? I don't know. So, you know, good on the Spurs. Let's see if those draft picks kind of ultimately come back and help them rebuild the culture. If Pop chooses to stick around a couple more years. But DeJounte Murray, I wish you the best of luck next to Trae Young. I know it's going to be, you know, prime time. It's going to be a beautiful, exciting basketball to watch, but let's see if that helps.
Yeah, I just don't know if it was the best basketball fit, but that's why they play the games, not on paper, but on the court. And if I'm Utah, Dan, I'd want more than that for Gobert. I don't know. I just feel like Clint Capella and John Collins, like, I just don't love it. I'd rather get picks, to be honest, than have to pay John Collins all that money. I mean, maybe they're a believer in him, but if I'm Donovan Mitchell and you're telling me we're shipping out Gobert to bring back Collins and Capella, I'm probably asking for a trade myself.
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, it's part of a package that they could put for Gobert, but I think that both those guys just ultimately don't stay with the Hawks moving forward. I think that's a bigger point.
Yeah.
All right, and now, guys, let's get into the meat of the episode. It is free agency. Again, like I mentioned earlier, over 30 moves happened in the last hour and a half, first two hours of free agency. So we're going to try to cover some of the key ones and just give you guys our takes on just some of the most insane signings. Some of these teams spent money on some of these players, so props to the players for getting the bag. Hopefully, these signings work out for the team. So without further ado, we'll get right into it. The first deal we want to highlight is Lou Dort for OK. He signed an extension with OKC for 5 years, $88 million. Next player I want to call out is Yusuf Nurkic with the Trailblazers, 4 years, $80 million. Next deal I want to call out is Chris Boucher, 3 year, $35 million deal with the Raptors. So good on him to make his money. Next deal, this is arguably the craziest one out of all of them. Anfernee Simons with the Trailblazers agreed to a 4 year, $100 million deal. Devin Booker and the Suns agreed to a 4 year, $214 million deal. Nikola Jokic, richest contract in NBA history with the Nuggets, 5 year, $264 million. Bobby Portis re-signed with the Bucks for 4 years, $49 million. Amir Coffey signed with the Clippers for 3 years, $11 million. Bargain deal, in my opinion. Bradley Beal with the Wizards, 5 year, $251 million. Let's see if he sticks. And then a couple of just key signings that I thought were really interesting. Isaiah Hartenstein and the New York Knicks agreed to a 2 year, $16 million deal. I think that's a really good signing for the Knicks. Oladipo remains with the Heat for 1 year, $11 million. PJ Tucker is now with the 76ers for 3 years, $33 million. Malik Monk signed with the Kings for 2 years, $19 million. And lastly, this is still up in the air because we're getting contradicting reports as to what the final offer is going to be, but we expect Jalen Brunson to sign with the Knicks for 4 years, $106 million.
Yeah, wow, a lot of deals obviously going through. Definitely makes you feel like there was some tampering going on with some of these deals because they were done like way too early, especially with some of these guys changing teams. First, you got to call out Jokic. Obviously, that's the richest deal in NBA history. That's a huge deal. His fifth season, guys, the player option is going to be worth $60 million. And obviously, some news has come out about the salary cap. It does look like it's going to go up, which means these guys are just going to keep making more, and we're going to keep seeing records being broken. Obviously, Devin Booker, not too far behind on the 4 year, $214 million. Obviously, some reports saying that Brooklyn wants back Devin Booker in a KD trade. So I don't think Phoenix is trying to do that at all. Obviously, they just invested in him long term, so I don't see that happening. Bradley Beal, he finally signed that supermax that we all expected with the Wizards. He rejected the player option so that way he could capitalize. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if he immediately asks for a trade with all these moves going on, or if he gives them a year to try and make the playoffs, quote unquote, and then inevitably, much like KD and Kyrie, mid-contract ends up asking for a trade. It seems like that's like kind of the new standard, and I agree with you, Dan. I think the next CBA is going to definitely remove a lot of player flexibility from being able to just sign a massive deal with a team and then ask for a trade within a couple of months, basically. Definitely some good role player signings. Marvin Bagley, 3 years, $37 million. I thought that was interesting. I think PJ Tucker going to the Sixers is a huge move for Philly. They're obviously kind of all in on winning right now, and paying a guy who's, I think, 35 years old with PJ Tucker, that's a lot of bread to invest in him at this age. But he's buddy-buddy with James Harden. They played back in Houston. I think James Harden was definitely a big push behind this. I think Embiid is definitely a fan of this move as well. I think Philly needed to get a little bit tougher, so I think getting Tucker, and also to make matters better, to take him from Miami, who's obviously a direct threat, and they beat them in the playoffs. That's a good move for Philly. Dan Oladipo, I mean, I think that's a good move for Miami. 1 year, obviously they're paying him a little bit more, but you can afford to take that risk on a one-year deal because you kind of saw a little bit of what he can give you last year. And I don't know how much flexibility they have, so you'd rather bring him back than not bring him back at that point. I'd really like Hartenstein for the Knicks. I think Mitchell Robinson is probably close to signing an extension with New York, so we'll see what happens there. But I think he's a very capable backup. We all know Mitchell Robinson's injury issue, so I think it's good to have a stretch big on a lineup like that that has a Julius Randle. That's obviously not great for spacing the floor, so we'll see what ends up happening there. And then finally, Jalen Brunson. I'm a very happy man. I know a lot of fans out there might have think that the Knicks overpaid, but when you look at what Anthony Simons got with 4 years, $100 million, I think Jalen Brunson is a winning player. I think he's a smart player. Two national championships at Villanova. We all know how well these Villanova guys tend to translate into the pros. Look, he's not going to be the superstar. I don't think he's the savior of the Knicks. The Knicks definitely need to make another move to go get that superstar, but I think Jalen Brunson is one piece that is very important towards bringing that superstar to New York. No, gone are the days of, hey, let's just free up a bunch of cap space and hope that a superstar will sign with us. I think the Knicks are finally showing like, hey, we're trying to bring in smart, team first, selfless players like a Brunson. Yeah, you have to overpay for him a little bit to steal him away from Dallas, but sometimes those are the risks worth taking. And I think the Knicks are going to look back on this deal as the first of hopefully the next piece that ends up coming to New York. So I'm very happy. We haven't had a good point guard since the Stephon Marbury days, and that's been like 20 years. So I'm just a happy guy to see the New York Knicks finally solidify the most important position on the floor.
Let's wait and see for the Knicks what they're going to be charged for with tampering, because everyone knows that came out way too early, regardless of what the news is coming out like now. Just some other key signings that we didn't really touch, but you know, they're worth mentioning. We have Nick Batum returning to the Clippers. I thought that was a pretty good remaining piece. We also had Jayshon Tate re-signing with the Rockets for a very team-friendly deal, 3 years, $22 million. And a deal that really caught my eye just because of this guy's potential and just what a bargain it was Mo Bamba sticking with Magic for 2 years, $21 million. Again, just some really solid signings for a couple of teams with their role players. And guys, we haven't even addressed the fact that there's a lot of players that are still key free agents that haven't been picked up. So, you know, we number one free agent, Zach LaVine, is he going to re-sign with Chicago? To be determined. Obviously, we expect James Harden to re-sign with the 76ers. Where does DeAndre Ayton end up? It looks like right now the Timberwolves are actually the number one option, which is shocking to hear. Wow. Miles Bridges couldn't have that arrest couldn't have come at a worse time. This is like Dennis Schroeder on steroids, in my opinion, just because it's legally concerning. So wish him the best of luck and that his legal situation gets figured out. Will Colin Sexton re-sign with the Cavs, or does he get an extension? It's been very quiet since he had that injury. Brian touched on Mitch Robinson. And, you know, another key player that hasn't been talked about too much, Gary Payton and Kevon Looney. Are they going to re-sign with the Golden State Warriors, or are they going to find new homes? Again, just a lot of pieces that haven't been signed, that haven't been addressed. So it's going to be very exciting to see where some of these players end up going.
Yeah, man, there's a long list. I think with LaVine, the feeling is that he's going to return to Chicago. I think that's why you haven't heard a lot of buzz about him with, you know, other teams. But it is interesting that they also haven't gotten a deal done yet. I think that is interesting. You would expect for a guy of his caliber, if you're Chicago and you really want him, you would have locked him up, or we would have heard about it by now. The Miles Bridges story, Dan, is wild to me. I mean, you cannot 24 hours before free agency and you hear this story. I mean, absolutely. I mean, a felony domestic violence. That is, let me tell you, you don't get charged with that unless it's something that was really bad. And obviously I read some rumors on Twitter about, you know, the woman being in the hospital. We obviously have to wait on the details to find out exactly what happened, but there is no question all of these teams are staying far away from Miles Bridges for right now. And what a disaster summer and offseason for the Charlotte Hornets, Dad. I mean, you got the whole situation with the coach backing out. Now you got Miles Bridges. It has not been a fun summer over there in Charlotte for sure. And I think DeAndre Ayton, to me, Dan, is probably outside of KD, Kyrie, I think he's probably the biggest, most likely name to move this summer. It would surprise me, even though Phoenix offered the qualifying offer to him, it would surprise me if there isn't another team that steps up to make a move for him. Because, look, I wouldn't want to give him a max deal either, but I could see why he's pretty close to being worth a max deal. Obviously, you're rooting for the upside and the potential, but it's a little scary that he was the third best player on this Suns team, and it didn't feel like he really progressed enough for us to really see it, especially in a contract year. I mean, he had some good games, but the consistency wasn't there. I think that Timberwolves report is very interesting because you have Karl Anthony Towns there already. I don't know if I love that fit personally.
Yeah, so it's between the Timberwolves and the Atlanta Hawks, who are pretty much being linked to everyone right now. So I guess we got to take that with a grain of salt. But to your original point, I agree. I think Ayton is on the move regardless, which to me is a bad move by the Suns. I think that he deserves to stick. I would give him a max contract. He is on the upper half. Like he's part of the better 15, maybe even a top 10 center in the league right now. Centers are a commodity, man. Like, they don't grow on trees, so you definitely got to pay them what they're worth, especially given the fact that he was a key piece as to why they made the NBA Finals 2 years ago. So, again, Sarver's being cheap, but it's just kind of the way that the game is played, unfortunately. I want to quickly spin it over, though, Brian. Just, you know, we've talked over some of these deals. We've had time to digest, some of the signings. In your opinion, what are the top three best moves and what are the top three worst moves this offseason?
Ooh, that's a good question, Dan. That's a really good question. I would say you said the three best moves and the three worst moves.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's tough to say, but I would say the smartest move is probably for Kyrie Irving to opt into his player option. I mean, the alternative really for him was to take that $6 million mid-level exception with the Lakers. And let's be real, with all the money he lost this past season, just really didn't make much sense to do that. So he went ahead and cashed in, and then he's probably going to request a trade pretty soon, if he hasn't already, to Brooklyn. So that, I think, is a smart move on his end to be able to do that. As far as teams, I mean, look, all these guys, Jokic, D-Book, I can't blame you for taking them. To me, one of the worst moves, and I know that they don't really have a choice, the Washington Wizards paying Bradley Beal all that money. I know he's great. I know what he brings to the table, but I would have tried like hell to try and get an awesome deal with a bunch of young picks, young players and picks back for Bradley Beal instead of investing $250 million. Because, Dan, I mean, am I crazy for thinking that he's not going to finish that contract in Washington?
I don't know, man. I mean, we've had this discussion so many times leading up into it, and he surprises us every time, so it wouldn't shock me. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. I would say as far as shocking moves, I was surprised that Mo Bamba re-upped with Orlando. He was a name that I've seen in the trade rumors a lot, along with Miles Turner. So to see him re-sign with Orlando, I think is an interesting move, especially at 2 years. He's still a very movable asset in case things really don't work out. So I thought that was a smart move. I love the PJ Tucker signing for Philly. Like I said, I think they're a team that's trying to be title ready, and he's a guy that can get you from title to being close to a title to being a title contender. And I really like that Tyus Jones deal. I mean, I know they had to pay a little bit extra for him at $15 million. He's probably one of the higher paid backup point guards in the league, but you have to understand the injury risk with Ja Morant, I think, is something that you have to take into consideration. And having a quality backup point guard like Tyus Jones is just super valuable to have. And I think Isaiah Hartenstein is going to be one of these other under the radar signings. I think if Mitch Robinson's injury issues continue, he could end up being a guy that plays a lot of minutes at $8 million a year. I think he's going to end up being a really, really good signing when you look back on it.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely echo some of your sentiments. In terms of top moves for myself, I got to point out Mo Bamba. Again, that's a very team-friendly deal. on a guy that has a huge upside. So Orlando is not giving up much, and I'm shocked that other teams didn't try to get him. Another super amazing signing, in my opinion, was PJ Tucker with the Sixers. We've seen what he's been able to do for two teams in the past two seasons. Right away, just having an immediate impact on the floor, both offensively and defensively, but most importantly in the culture aspect. So love that signing. And Brian, my third favorite move so far has been Isaiah Hartenstein with the Knicks. Definitely under the radar, super team-friendly move, and we know his potential with what he was able to do with the Clippers. So let's see if maybe Tom Thibodeau gives him kind of more runway with Mitch still being wildly inconsistent with his minutes. And in terms of just moves that I did not like at all, man, I'm still scratching my head on Lou Dort with the Thunder, man. Lou Dort. 5 years for $88 million. I just don't see it. I think this guy's a solid to good NBA player, but to get that type of bag, again, like, he's not moving the needle. So why are you paying that much? I'm a little bit surprised. You just mentioned the second guy, Anthony Simons. We're talking about a guy that was able to show out on a roster that was already tanking. So to commit that much money to someone that, frankly, you still have a lot of question marks around is shocking. But the only thing that I could see why they would do it is because he's so young. There's still potential for upside. But again, I just, you know, you got Shane Sharp coming in. He does the same thing as Dame. Like, there's just a lot of reasons why I don't love keeping him. And then the last player that just, it's a head scratcher for me, is Chris Boucher with the Raptors. I mean, we saw Chris Boucher go multiple games where he didn't play a minute for Nick Nurse's rotation. So to go from having DMPs consistently on the bench on certain nights to, you know, re-upping with the team on a pretty good deal, in my opinion, like $10 million is not chump change. It's surprising. I don't understand what they're doing there. So let's see.
Yeah, Boucher is an interesting one. You called it there. I think Toronto is like, they like him enough to have him on the roster, but not enough to play him enough. It's very weird. But clearly they could have let him go and they chose not to. So they obviously see something in him. And I think he can be valuable with the right playing time. So we'll see what ends up happening over there with him in Toronto. I think Simons, I agree with you, man. I think by drafting Shaedon Sharpe, that to me, him and Simons kind of do the same thing. It seems a little redundant. Then you add a point guard who's already not very strong defensively in Dame Lillard. I don't love it. I just don't. I know they added Jeremy Grant, but I think they needed another player kind of like him. If I'm Portland, I would have tried to maybe sign and trade Anthony Simons to bring back another, you know, versatile piece. To me, you have three guys that do a lot of the same things between him, Dame, and Simons. So we'll see what ends up happening, but I don't love Portland's moves, to be honest. I know that they're trying to keep Dame happy, but I don't love Simons at that price, man. I think $25 million. I mean, let me tell you, if the Knicks offered Anthony Simons $25 million, they'd be getting ripped right now. I would say almost any organization would be getting ripped. So to me, it's an overpay. I want to see more from him as far as in the playoffs. Like, what is he going to do when the games really matter? That's because he played on a team without Damian Lillard last year. And he's essentially, it sounds like he's going to either be the sixth man or he'll be the starting two guard, which then means, I guess, Shaedon Sharpe becomes your sixth man. I don't know. I'm not sold on that backcourt defensively, though, at all.
Yeah, there's too many question marks. And again, I think that the biggest, WTF we're waiting on is the whole Jalen Brunson deal. I mean, it was reported an hour or so before free agency started, he was going to sign with the Knicks for 4 years, $110 million. Now they're saying that the Dallas Mavericks and that Dallas didn't even get an offer. Now it's being reported that Dallas did offer him 5 years, $100+ million, and he's going to talk to New York now. There's just a lot going on with that. And I mean, I think he ends up with the Knicks regardless to like the original point. I think that they do stay true to that 4 year, $110 million contract. But man, it's just, there's been, as of late, like NBA Twitter has just been wildly inconsistent with some of these moves.
Yeah, it's hard to read what's real and what's not. So that's why we don't really want to speculate or even report until we feel pretty confident that that's the right deal. But I think that the Jalen Brunson thing, this whole, oh, they offered and they didn't offer, I feel like a lot of this is just them, the Knicks primarily, and the agent of Jalen Brunson, who, by the way, happens to be the son of the Knicks general manager, Leon Rose. I think they're both just trying to cover their tracks as far as tampering to make it seem like, oh, you know, we were really considering all our options all the way, you know, to the last minute. And, you know, I definitely think that this deal was done beforehand. You had his dad is the assistant coach of the Knicks. He just got hired a couple months ago. Again, this just feels like it was planned for a while back. And to be honest with you, as a Knicks fan, if you need to take away a couple picks because we tampered, so be it. I've seen organizations be aggressive, and I'd rather be the one that gets punished for being over aggressive than be the team that's sitting on the sidelines, like holding my thumb saying, oh, I wish I'd put an offer in, or, oh, they did the wrong thing. Does that make sense, Danny?
Yeah, no. Again, we'll see what the punishment is, but you can't say that the Knicks just waited for free agents to come this time around. They took initiative, and so there is improvement on that front.
By the way, one team that we did not even mention that is a title contender that was, again, very low key, very under the radar, bringing a bunch of players back, the Milwaukee Bucks. Bobby Portis, 4 years, $49 million. I mean, look, some would consider an overpay. I seen what Bobby Portis brings to that team. He is worth every dollar. Like, he is part of the reason why I think they're a championship contender. They brought back Wes Matthews, Javon Carter. They even reached a deal with Joe Ingles. I mean, this team is, to me, fully healthy. They are going to be one of the favorites coming out of the East again. And it's just because they're keeping that core together. And I think they should be a team to be reckoned with again this year.
Yeah, I completely agree. All their signings, I loved. Dante DiVincenzo, they traded him away. If they could get him back again on a contract, oh my God, that roster would be amazing. So let's wait and see. But there's still moves to be made, guys. This is by no means over yet. We just got a bulk of things done in the first hour and a half of free agency. So awesome, exciting stuff to keep up with. Brian, I think that about covers it. We obviously hit everyone with a bunch of facts, a bunch of news. Do you have any parting words for the audience?
No. I mean, I think that the KD and Kyrie situation is just beginning. I don't know if a deal is going to get done right away. I think maybe over the weekend we're going to get some rumors, no doubt, but it's going to be really, really interesting. These are going to be some big chess pieces to kind of figure out, okay, what's going on. All I hope, I've really enjoyed the conference balance this year. I really hope everyone doesn't go to the West, because we already have LeBron, we have Kawhi, then you throw KD out to the West along with Steph. I mean, my God, can we try to keep the balance a little bit better? I think we've had a good job of that over the last couple of years. It would just suck to see all the talent go out West. It would be nice to see some of the talent stay in the East. So we'll see what ends up happening there, but You nailed it, Dan. I mean, we're going to be keeping social media posted with new updates and stuff, interacting with you guys. It's a busy, busy weekend for NBA free agency, no doubt.
Yeah, guys. So again, to Brian's earlier point, we're going to be keeping our social media running. Make sure to just keep up with the tweets. Make sure to keep up with the stories on Instagram, and whatever you want to interact with, we're here to chat and we're here to talk. Yeah, we did mention it in the prior episode, but just to reemphasize the point, we are probably going to be taking a short break now that the NBA season's pretty much over. Free agency is pretty much going to die out, unless there's like some really breaking news for us to do one more episode. I just don't see it coming, but if there is, we'll do one more. But for the most part, we'll catch you guys back later on in the season, kind of as the season is about to kick off with fantasy, obviously, around August or so. We'll hit you guys back up then. But just thank you guys so much for the continued support. We appreciate it. And that doesn't mean we're going away. Just you can catch us on our socials. Until next time, guys, have a great one.